In the annals of time, riding social forces as they crest and crash under the shores of history, some would-be heroes stumble but manage to recover their breath. Others are reduced to the flotsam and jetsam of nostalgia. These others are our subjects. They are the vanquished.
February 3rd, 2004. Joe Lieberman steps on stage to address supporters at the Hyatt in Arlington, Virginia. He salutes the crowd, who showers him in a chant of "Let's go, Joe." After all but skipping the Iowa caucus, Lieberman had put all his chips on the New Hampshire primary, where he came in fifth. But he had stayed in for that day's mini Tuesday primaries, hoping for a strong showing in Delaware. Instead, he got 11%. Joe addressed the crowd.
But for me, it is now time to make a difficult but realistic decision. After looking at the returns and speaking with my family and my campaign team, I have decided tonight to end my quest for the presidency of the United States of America. Am I disappointed? Naturally. But am I proud of what we stood for in this campaign? You bet I am.
Folks, hello and welcome to The Vanquished. Anders J. Lee here, and I'm pleased to announce I now have a co-host.
Oh, my God.
One Fredward G. That's what Freddie's short for.
Oh, of course. Yes, yeah.
Freddie, thank you for joining us.
I'm so happy to be here, yeah. Freddie's, happy to make fun of all these guys.
Yeah. He is a comedian at large in New York City, a New York native as well. Also, a history buff, isn't that right?
Oh, yeah, I've read so much history.
Cool. And we, for better or worse, have dove into, I don't know why I'm wearing headphones right now. It's completely unnecessary. I'm listening to nothing. But we are talking today about, this is kind of an emergency podcast in a way, because part of The Vanquished is, you know, a lot of this stuff is evergreen, right? Years from now, you can tune into it and it won't sound like it's out of date necessarily, because we were talking about people who are out of date, right?
Barry Goldwater is not changing.
Right. Yeah. God forbid some sort of intervention quests and curses and things like that. But we are talking about something that is slightly time sensitive in that these guys die occasionally, actually very frequently. And that's kind of their last gasp, is if you're a presidential loser, is your death. That's the last time you're in the media, in the news for anything.
And, yes, yeah. And we just experienced Joe Lieberman's downfall.
Right. Literally.
Yes, yes.
He fell down, you know, and this is coming off Oscar season, Anatomy of a Fall. Would you see that movie?
I didn't see it. I do feel like this pod's been very sweet to these people. And like, I'm paying $1,000 a month in healthcare because Joe Lieberman killed the public option. See, I am a Jew here to bash Joe Lieberman.
Okay, that's why, I needed you.
Yeah, you're just so nice. You're Midwestern nice. Right. So
I needed to be kind to him. But yeah, he died this past week, and it was unexpected. He was around the same age as Joe Biden, so who would have thought that he would perish? But why don't we begin by, you know, we have slightly different backgrounds. Joe Lieberman was the first, and I think the last, major party nominee on the ticket, vice president, to be Jewish. And I remember hearing about that a little bit as a kid.
Yeah, he's the only one. Yeah, but it's like you said, Barry Goldwater was like barely. He had some Jewish ancestry.
He was half Jewish. Yeah, which, you know.
Yeah, we were excited. Yeah, I think that was part of why I supported Gore in 2000. Really? I was still kind of in the middle, and it was like, I think Bush seemed a little too Christian, because I was still kind of religious at that point in 2000, and then then it was like, oh, he picked a Jew. That's exciting. And he looks like my grandpa.
Yeah. Yeah. He's, it surprised some people, the decision, which we'll get into, the 2000 race. But he is kind of a unique figure in American politics, a moderate, but he has kind of always been that way, right? He has terrible guns that he stuck to, right? You could say he did in a way stick to his principles. They were just kind of warped principles that kind of didn't make much sense to anybody but Joe Lieberman.
So I read his whole autobiography for this podcast.
Man.
And he calls it he does not like the term moderate. He calls himself a centrist. It's called the book is called The Centrist Solution.
What's the problem with moderate?
I think that defines you in the middle. Centrist is like about finding solutions.
Isn't centrist literally the middle? Isn't that what the word means? That's such a
I know what you're saying. Okay, I don't know the difference between centrist and moderate, but he does use the term centrist.
Well, it's just weird that he would be anti the word
moderate. I think he says centrist because he has principles, mm-hmm. but he takes pride in working in the center and making compromises.
Right. But he was kind of always this way, right? At the beginning of his political
career. Yes, yeah, he's a centrist through and through.
Okay. And it was interesting. I didn't read too much about his early life, but I did learn his father was a liquor store owner, right, in Connecticut?
I actually did not read about that.
Okay.
I know he was the first one in his family to go to college. His parents were immigrants.
Okay. And where did they immigrate from?
Eastern Europe. Same thing as me, Poland and Austria-Hungary.
Okay. It was interesting, you know, just reading a little bit about his bio. He's kind of a moral crusader, or seen that way on certain issues, random ones. But his dad owned a liquor store, which is surprising, you know, for religious reasons maybe too. But that's part of his background. I don't know if there's some compensation going on there. But what do you...
He would tell people to moderate their alcohol. That's okay. Where Joe gets it from. Yeah. Yeah.
But what can
Jews are not that against booze. We're right. Pretty pro booze. Our holiday Passover, which is Passover has four drinks. Jews are okay with the booze.
Manischewitz.
Right? Yeah. So yeah. They can sell some kosher wine. Yeah. So the liquor store guy is part of the community.
Okay.
Yeah. Honestly, like Joe Lieberman, who was a guy who fought to bomb people in the Middle East, that's much more evil than owning a liquor store.
If you're taking the Torah seriously, I would think so. Yeah. But how did he wind up that way? What do you know about his like early background? He's Connecticut through and through, right?
He's from Stanford. He goes to Yale. He gets a law degree. He's a lawyer a little bit, and then he runs for attorney general. So he's an Orthodox Jew. He would not the convention to be nominated as the attorney general was on Saturday, so he couldn't go.
Right. That's the through line is he took the Sabbath seriously. And even when he was in the Senate, he would, this is according to John Podhoretz, who recorded a eulogy to him. Completely horrified that such a sudden shocking thing happened, such as Lieberman's death. And apparently Lieberman would, on Saturdays, if he had to go into the Senate, he would live in Georgetown, and he would walk all the way from Georgetown to the U.S. Capitol because you can't drive on the Sabbath. But it would seem to me that if you're still going to work.
He is working. Yeah, it is working. Yeah, he did break. I couldn't figure out what the bill was. He broke a Republican filibuster once by walking to the Senate.
Okay.
And then he said the filibuster is like a curse or whatever. And then later on, he uses that to get rid of the public option.
Bam. Hey, yeah. But his career in Connecticut politics, I think, is interesting. It tells us something about history in that. His first election to U.S. Senate is in 1988. He's a Democrat. The guy he's running against is a Republican who is significantly to Lieberman's left. And
yes,
Podhoretz even admitted this, that at this point in American history, we're still kind of, you know, being realigning the political system. The wires are still kind of crossed with Democrats and Republicans. But the reason for that caused the realignment, that was civil rights. The Civil Rights Act, the early 1960s. Before that, you had a lot of liberal Republicans from the Northeast. And I always wondered why this was, but it was interesting digging into the history of like specifically Lowell Weicker, which is the guy's name, who we unseated. He was a liberal pretty much through and through, but at that time, if when he was getting involved in politics, like 50s, 60s, the Democrats had liberals. It was a fairly liberal party, but not on civil rights. And if you,
oh yeah, absolutely, yeah, the parties flipped on civil rights around the first the Johnson in the 60s, and then the Southern strategy.
Right, but that point in time in northeastern states, you have people who are
Trickled down yet. This is like, I think he wins in 1980. He joins the Senate.
Lowell Weicker.
Oh no,
Lieberman's 88.
Oh, it's 88. I'm sorry. Okay.
But Lowell Weicker was basically looked at the Democrats and the Republicans and was like, I agree with the Democrats and everything except for civil rights. So I'm going to be a Republican. And there are a lot of people like that. Rockefeller, sort of like a Rockefeller Republican.
Yeah, yeah.
He seems honestly to the left of Rockefeller to me. But and then you had conversely Democrats, people kind of like Lieberman, who would look at who are from the Northeast, would look at the two parties and say, you know what, I'm kind of more conservative on a lot of things, so I'm going to go with the Democrats because I wouldn't call Lieberman pro segregation, right?
But yeah, that is the thing with Lieberman that's a little weird, is he did do civil rights stuff. He actually was at the March on Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
Lieberman's basically, he's a socially liberal, fiscally conservative.
Sure.
Which is he would never call himself a libertarian, but he's kind of a little libertarian.
A little bit, yeah.
But very into interventionist foreign policy.
Yeah, yeah. But that 1988 race, he wins. He sort of red baits Lowell Weicker on the Cuba issue.
Yeah, yeah, I did want to. Yeah, Lowell Weicker had cigars with Castro. And there's about I think it's 100,000. There's some Cubans in Connecticut, and they swing it to Lieberman, and that's why he wins.
Wow. And there's shades of 2000 in Florida in that. That's
oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Honestly, he needed to go harder on that in 2000. He maybe could have won some more Cubans in Florida in 2000. I don't know how that demographic broke down that year.
I mean, it was very, very close. And a lot of it did come down to Cuba, Elian Gonzalez, that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But throughout the 90s, Lieberman is kind of a moral crusader on particular issues, like we mentioned,
the video game, like censoring video games for violence, that kind of stuff. I'm sure he's the guy who said like Columbine was because of Doom and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. And the V-chip. That was
Oh my God.
Crown jewels of the Clinton presidency, according to people like Lieberman.
I did not live in a V-chip household. I was a kid then.
I technically did, because the remote had a button. I remember saying V-chip, but I don't think it actually did anything. I think it was just like installed there, and you had to like, you know, go in your TV and make sure.
Such a Democratic policy, a meaningless button.
Right.
That really sums up a lot of Bill Clinton's policies.
Right. I don't think my parents ever set it up. I think you like have to actually set it up or something. And most people don't do that. So it was like, purely symbolic thing that did very little. But yeah, very anti-video game. And he actually, this was a defining moment for Lieberman in his Senate career. 1998, Clinton is being impeached.
And I did want to just say, he loves centrism and he's an early supporter of Clinton.
Right.
I think even maybe he's someone Clinton had thought of as like, oh, maybe one day he'll be a VP. So it sort of made sense that when Gore moves up to the top spot, Lieberman's going to move up.
Okay. But that ties into this too.
It definitely does.
One of the reasons he picks him is because Lieberman is outspoken in condemning Clinton for the Lewinsky scandal. But his rationale for it is not really the one people have today, looking back in retrospect, which is that, you know, it's creepy that this older guy in a position of power would, there's something unethical about that breach, that using your position of power to, you know, have sexual relations with like a very young woman.
It's one of the original Me Toos.
Right. Well, yeah, kind of. I mean,
there's always once before.
It was consensual, but the objection Lieberman had was just that him doing this therefore made it so people have to talk about this with their kids, that people are going to have to explain to their children what fellatio is, God forbid, or, you know, that people have affairs sometimes. Like,
it's not kosher.
Yeah. But just the mere fact of it being a public issue and something that trickled into American discourse, sex, you know, something like that. Yeah, the president saying the word sexual, that was immoral. There was something tainted about just the fact that this has become a public conversation and therefore Clinton is responsible.
Yeah, that makes sense. The thing was, is that in his book, he talks about Clinton thanked him, because what he did is he set a limit. He said, we're going to condemn this, but not impeach for it. And he even said, like, Clinton should just be censured.
Right.
So he sort of set up the Democrat defense that ended up working.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, that plays into why he's selected in 2000. Gore is trying to distance himself from Clinton. And, you know, in retrospect, was that a good strategy or not? It's hard to say. I've heard different things about Clinton himself saying that they should have ran more on Clinton's presidency. And then in other places, I've heard he was actually saying, no, that's a good idea. Stay away from me. You know, hit the Lewinsky, because at base, he's a political animal and is, you know, always thinking about winning. But a lot of wheels are turning in that guy's head. We'll, I'm sure, cover him.
And I mean, they did enough to win, because they arguably got enough votes to win. Right. Which we'll probably cover in a couple minutes.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
It is just weird. He didn't pick someone from like a swing state. Do we want to talk about who the other potential choices were? So yeah, it was John Kerry, John Edwards, and Lieberman. And I think Edwards was the leading contender. But then they basically said, well, this guy was a lawyer 2 years ago. How are you going to say that he should be a harpy from the presidency?
Right.
You know, this is before Palin and Trump and like totally unqualified people.
Yeah.
So then Lieberman assumes they're going to pick Edwards. He goes to bed. He thinks it's Edwards. And then he finds out it's him on TV.
Right. And the mere fact that he was considered, they celebrated. So the evening before Gore decides, his press secretary calls Lieberman, and this is according to Jewish Insider. They call Lieberman to say that it's going to be Edwards, and the family is like, oh, that's nice. You know, they didn't expect to get it. They're like,
yeah.
Let's have a toast, L'chaim, to just being considered.
Yeah, they broke, yeah.
So just the fact
I do have a fun fact about the interview.
Okay.
In his book, Lieberman, he talks about his interview with Gore. It's like, it's awkward being interviewed by your friend. It's like, it's like if Anders had interviewed me to be on this podcast, which that didn't happen. But then he says, well, Gore was like, you have any other questions? Anything else I should know? And like, it's all serious. And Lieberman's like, well, I had to break the tension. And I told him I had once done bestiality.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And I take it that was a joke.
Yeah, it was a joke. Okay. Yeah. But it just, the thing is, that thing with Jews, every Jewish man wants to be a comic.
Yeah.
So like he had that was the one time in the book or in his life he had to work in a joke. And this is the biggest job of his life, being right. I mean, that's still what he's known for, is being the first Jewish VP nominee. The fact that he ran in 04, whatever else he did, is not as much of his legacy, at least on a positive note.
Right. I mean, he is kind of funny. I do have to kind of give that to him sometimes. He had a joke about his daughters, one of them's like a hardline Republican conservative. She moved to Israel.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And the other's like more of a normal person. And he was speaking at one of their weddings and was like, this daughter, the normal one, has a poster of Sean Cassidy on her wall. The other one has a picture of Sean Hannity, which I guess isn't that good of a joke. But that's
so toxic. If a woman has Sean Hannity, that's oh my God, who's she going to marry?
Yeah, I don't know if she actually literally does, but yeah, going back to that 2000 race. So choosing him, the media, they're taken by surprise. And the next thing you know, August 7th, 2000, there's media vans snapping photos, filming outside his house in Connecticut. His name's all over cable news. And the reporters are like, straight up at his house, you know, looking in the windows and trying to get
him. Would you say it was a Liebermania?
It was, yes. It was a Liebermanic phenomenon spreading throughout the country, in Connecticut especially, with the media. And his wife comes outside. She's making coffee for Lieberman, and he gets caught, almost caught in his boxers with his morning coffee. And then Hadassah Lieberman walks outside taking out the trash, and she's barefoot because, again, they had no idea this was happening. They thought it was going to John Edwards, and that image is around there somewhere of Hadassah barefoot taking out the trash.
Damn, so he put sex in the public light.
Yeah, I mean, bare feet. That is an aphrodisiac for some people. But he, it's interesting the role his religion played, because he definitely didn't shy away from it. But he also had kind of like a Kennedy-like response. It would often invoke Kennedy when people brought it up, including sometimes in like weird ways. Like this is from 2004, but I watched a C-SPAN call hour he did where someone brought up Israel, and I was like, wow, right on. He's, you know, taking Lieberman to task on Israel. And then he's like, but is this, you know, Israel is wreaking havoc in the Middle East and you're Jewish. So that's, and it was like,
I'm glad things have changed since then. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just a weird way to frame it. And Lieberman doesn't get offended at all. He's just like very matter of factly like, hey, John F. Kennedy was Catholic. They said the same thing about him. And I, you know, country first.
Yeah, it is interesting. Yeah, the book, he doesn't talk about Israel at all. Hmm. Like he doesn't, I don't think he wanted, I think he was a big Israel supporter.
Yeah.
And even after he retired, he did work on like Iran and the nuclear program and trying to like drum up war for that. So I think he supported the same things Israel supported, but he's not big on talking about Israel, I think, because it would look like a conflict.
Right. Right. And maybe that is some self-consciousness about his religion, right? Or
yeah.
Okay. Which he practiced.
There's better messengers for it. Also, there's a lot of Christian evangelicals, and they can carry the water for Israel.
Yeah.
Or just the normal Democrats usually do a good job as well.
Yeah. It's funny how... So Podhoretz, John Podhoretz, was conservative commentator. He was kind of saying that the new Lieberman is John Fetterman because, you know, Lieberman's gone. He was kind of a...
Well, Manchin's retired. Manchin and him kind of have a lot of parallels. He replaces Manchin at No Labels after he retires as well. But yeah, John Fetterman is, kind of becoming that.
Yeah. Specifically on, just a couple key issues. He's crossing the aisle. But they're ones that are not typically the ones that people, you know, go to the other side on. But in the 2000 campaign, there's a he actually makes some of the advisors to Gore mad because there's a speech he gives in Detroit, quotes George Washington saying, with caution, indulge the superstition that morality can be maintained without religion. And one of the advisors gets furious because it's basically saying like, you can be an atheist and a moral person. That's fine.
That's so interesting to me. So I'm like a Washington nerd too. So Washington was basically an agnostic. Like he was nominally Christian, but he really didn't, it wasn't a big part of his life. He didn't really believe in any supernatural stuff, but Lieberman is a pretty religious guy.
Yeah.
He loves to quote the founders. He quotes John Adams opening it up. Also, it makes sense. Those are the two presidents who never really declared a political party.
Right.
So it makes sense. He would love guys like that. I do think Lieberman is what the founders wanted politicians to be, which is guys who kind of negotiated the center of rich people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. And there's also, you know, there's a funny scene where, and you know, that quote using it is at the 2000 election, that is kind of a dicey move. It ends up getting an applause break. So the advisor's like, okay, fine. But, you know, he's running against George W. Bush.
Who's very religious.
Yeah. Wearing his Christianity on his sleeve. And Lieberman's kind of, you know, offering basically a Democratic counter, which is, but maybe you don't have to be as extreme as they are. Consider it a different way of thinking for just a moment.
Now, on the other end, though, he wouldn't campaign on the Sabbath.
Right.
Which is a big deal, but that's a really good day to do political rallies.
Yeah.
And it's a very tight time frame to campaign, especially for the VP. You only join about halfway through.
Right. Yeah. And that, you know, according to a lot of the staffers, they say it wasn't really an issue that he didn't do that. But who knows? Maybe that's what law scored the election.
Man.
Probably not.
If it was Hillary Clinton, like she was supposed to go to Michigan on a Saturday and then she discovered Judaism, people would have gotten mad.
Yeah. There's another little funny passage from this Jewish Insider article that the year 2000, people remember Who Let the Dogs Out? It was a huge hit.
It was killer. The Mets were good. We were playing it. That was the jam. Yeah.
But the Gore campaign would use that song, and there was kind of a uncomfortable contrast, if you will, between Joe Lieberman, Who Let the Dogs Out. Like, it didn't totally mesh. Surprise, surprise. Later on, Mitt Romney, another member of the Vanquished, awkwardly used Who Let the Dogs Out.
That is insane. It's something sexual. I forgot the exact detail.
Spoiler alert. Who Let the Dogs Out is unfortunately the dog's euphemism for unattractive women. So it's.
Oh, okay. So yeah.
I found that out recently and was disappointed.
It seems like the person who wrote that song is into quote unquote unattractive women because they're very excited about the dogs.
Yeah. Right. One of the issues in the 2000 campaign that this part of it's kind of overlooked, Iraq was actually an issue in 2000, talking about who was going to be tougher on Saddam Hussein. Bush, if you go back to then, he was kind of using some gestures towards a war with Iraq. Like, he said, this Clinton administration, they have not led. We will. What have they not done that you want to do with Iraq? Because they've been lobbing bombs at Iraq for 8 years. They've been imposing sanctions. What is the next level? And Gore was also very hawkish on Iraq. One of the first people to use the phrase weapons of mass destruction as vice president. And Lieberman, this may have been a reason that he was selected as well, was one of the authors of the Iraq Liberation Act, which in the late 90s made it just a basic sort of statement of principle that the United States believes that Saddam Hussein should be removed from power, however that removal happens.
Oh, yeah, and I do want to say another thing. The first Iraq war, it didn't seem like a lot of Democratic senators voted for it, and Lieberman is one of the guys who voted for it. And he was very consistently on getting Saddam out, and he says we need to get Saddam out in the VP debate.
Right. You watched that whole debate. Right?
Yeah, I watched. Yeah.
You had trouble sleeping that night.
It was rough. Yeah. This insanely nerdy thing about me is I did not rewatch the speech. They have not led. We will. That was Cheney's refrain during his VP acceptance speech.
Wow.
And I haven't watched that speech in 24 years. And I remember that immediately when you said that.
Damn. Wow. Any other takeaways from that debate?
He says abortion should be left to a woman, her doctor, and her God. Okay. So he tries to, like, the liberal line, he tries to inject God. And so, yeah, I think overall he would inject God a decent amount. But you found the one time he tried not to, and he got in trouble for that.
Yeah. Yeah. He would, you know, he would just kind of rock the boat a little bit. Right. He just tried that line once, I think. And
some other take. So Gore and Lieberman, the big like liberal thing they tried to push is like no racial profiling, no driving while black should not be a crime. They wanted a national ban on that. He talks about that in debate. The other things are pretty conservative. He talks about balancing the budget every year and using the strategic oil reserves to lower oil prices.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, affirmative action, I believe, was something he kind of flopped on.
Oh, interesting.
He had been, I think, anti-affirmative action.
Mm.
And this may, maybe you have some insight on this. I know for a lot of Jewish people of his generation, this is what I've heard, is that there was some uneasiness with affirmative action because Jews in the like 40s and 50s didn't have that. And they were able to kind of kick the door into, you know, elite institutions around that time, especially in the early 60s. And so there was kind of an attitude. And Irish people, I should also
I
know for a fact, there are Irish people who feel the same way, that we did it, so can you, not recognizing maybe some differences.
Oh, yeah, we were accepted into white, and you also we kind of – we immigrated on our own free will a little more recently.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of benefit, a lot of racist laws. But there is things like you would take the test – where I live from New York City. You take the test to get into Stuyvesant. And I think like you would know that based on your score, like you, it's easier to get in if you're not white. Stuff like that. I remember people talking about stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know how. Yeah. It's a vague memory now, but okay. Yeah. But basically there is some idea of like, well, we're fighting to get into places and like, it's a little bit, we're treated as white, so it's a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. But it's not something I, you know, stand by today.
Okay. Yeah. Well, after the election, so of course, famously Gore loses very narrowly in Florida. Florida. And you pointed out that Lieberman was actually wanted him to keep fighting on the recount issue.
Yeah,
I was surprised.
Yeah, the Supreme Court sent it back to technically they could still fight in Florida. But and Lieberman said he wanted Gore to keep fighting, and then Gore said he just didn't want to.
Hmm.
Because Lieberman believed that they got more votes.
Yeah.
The most frustrating thing was that the stupid Buchanan vote, there was the butterfly ballot,
right,
and people voted Jews. Buchanan was someone anti-Semitic based on his past statements. I don't know if he'll ever be on the Vanquished.
Oh, yeah.
The Vanquished Nazi edition. Yeah.
He's coming up.
So, so Buchanan was pretty bad. And then they voted. It was set up so for whatever reason, he was ahead of Gore on the ballot. And a lot of old Jews who would have loved to vote for a Jew accidentally voted for Buchanan instead of Gore Lieberman.
The butterfly ballots.
And I think that was bigger than the margin. I think that might have been. I'm not sure if that was bigger than the Nader vote. And then there's just like the weird Chad stuff that they were actually fighting over.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it ever got resolved. Whenever I Google it, they never have a definitive answer or an answer that says Gore won. So I still don't know who actually got more votes.
Well, I think for him to have won, you would have had to redo all those. The hanging chads and the butterfly about, they would have had to redo it.
They were like,
we don't do in America. We don't do elections over. I don't think that's happened as far as I'm aware.
I remember like being said to my dad, like the idea was that like, if it's a dimple chad or a hanging chad, we're counting that for Gore. And we've developed this science to figure that out.
Hmm.
And like thinking that was right. But I mean, I have no idea. I'm, you know, I'd have to really analyze it again.
Yeah.
It was all pretty annoying.
Right. I mean, there was a legit coup, basically, to prevent the recount from going forth. The Brooks Brothers riot. All these.
Oh yeah, that is well depicted in the recount movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Is Lieberman in that? By the way, does he play?
I don't know how much Lieberman there is. Okay. I know that. Yeah, I can't remember the guy's name. There's an actor I love who's the crazy guy in Michael Clayton, and he plays the bad guy in that, which is Baker. He plays Secretary. He plays James Baker, who's the villain, and it's really good. Oh yeah, I would recommend watching that. Yeah,
good flick.
But I don't know. There's not that much Lieberman. You know, he's just a VP,
right? But in 2001, after Bush has taken office. This is, you know, early in the Bush presidency, before 9/11, Lieberman's asked about the 2000 race and says he has some kind of regrets, possibly, or some criticism of his running mate. He says, I've never been one for class warfare. Some of the rhetoric in the campaign, the people versus the powerful, in general terms, is not the approach that I'm interested in or that I feel comfortable with. So the populism that Albert Gore Jr.
was
muster in the year 2000 was too kooky for Lieberman to be comfortable with. And he expressed some regret there, which I just, you know.
And he does talk about that in the book. He loves free enterprise. He loves market-based solutions. He basically says people don't hate rich people. They all think they're going to be rich. You know, the temporary embarrassed millionaires. Thing. And then the thing is, after that race, I mean, he does run as a Democrat, but he endorses Republicans in the next two elections, at least.
Really? 2002.
He does.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry. In the next two presidential elections, yeah.
Okay. Well, he doesn't endorse Bush in 04, does he?
Yeah, he does.
Really?
He speaks at the convention, yeah.
In 04?
He runs in 04 as a Democrat, as a centrist Democrat. He loses very badly in the primaries. And then he speaks at the convention, and he endorses Bush. Then he endorses McCain. I couldn't figure out if he endorsed Romney or Obama. That I couldn't find out. I know then he did switch to endorsing Democrats because he was not a Trump supporter, though. There's a little more about that later.
Huh. Wow. On to 2004. So, going into that election, there's a lot of speculation that that Gore is going to run again. It rhymed, right? Gore in 2004. Let's make that happen. People wanted it, but it would have been kind of a revenge campaign. So Gore decided against it.
Well, hopefully revenge campaigns never work. So,
yeah. I think he should have done it. Not that I'm an Al Gore fan necessarily, but that is enough of a reason.
They have worked before. Yeah. Andrew Jackson in 32, in 1832. They have worked before.
Right.
Though Gore is no Andrew Jackson.
I'll give him that. He's not Andrew Jackson.
The Democratic Party got a lot less badass between Gore and Andrew Jackson.
But going into the race, Gore decides not to. And in 2002, even before that, when there's still speculation that he's going to run, Lieberman is asked in an interview if he runs as an economic populist, which is the thing he had just been bemoaning the year before, and there's not another new Democrat in the race, are you going to endorse Al Gore because he's you're loyal to him in some way, right? And Joe Lieberman says, that's an alluring question. Uh-huh. I won't answer right now, which I think tells you a lot just in that
he's willing to flip flop. Yeah. He's willing to support a Republican. He does wait till Gore drops out before he enters. And he says in the book that kind of delayed him a little bit because people like Howard Dean had already announced.
Yeah. He doesn't. Yeah. He wants to make sure Gore is not doing it. And then he announces and leases an apartment in Manchester, which is with his family. They get they're really
in New Hampshire, yeah,
and they think that New Hampshire is a state is going to win, Northeastern, etc. And his I want to talk
about, New Hampshire is a good state for centrists. They had voted for McCain in 2000.
Yeah.
He knows he can't win Iowa, and they tell him you have to go compete in either Iowa or New Hampshire. So he ends up dropping out of Iowa, not really trying in Iowa. And then he puts most of it on New Hampshire.
Right. I do want to talk about his logo for a second. That's a big,
this is my first time seeing it. I think this is beautiful. Can you make it bigger for me though?
It is, it just says Joe Lieberman on it. There's no like year. There's nothing about president. It's just his name and that's it. Joe is in red, and this is really the key to the logo. In the middle of the O, instead of like the normal hole, it's a star. The hole is a star.
It looks like a gas station in Texas a little bit, to roast it.
It does do that. It looked like that as well. I also think it kind of looks like a G.I. Joe type thing.
Oh my god, yeah. And he is the least G.I. Joe of the Joes.
Yeah. This makes people think they're voting for G.I. Joe, and I guess that may have been a ploy to reach younger voters, which he was not.
I don't love that it's not. He's not going to do a Jewish star, but it's a Gentile star. I don't really love that as a Jew.
Right.
If you're going to have a star, yeah.
Yeah. Show that. But it would have induced some conspiracy theories, I'm sure.
And yeah, because we had gone into the point of the red versus blue kind of started in 2000, and yet it is weird. It's a blue background and a red logo. Maybe he's trying to like straddle the middle, but having Joe in red does make him seem like a bit of a Republican.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's the flag, you know, that everybody does some variation on red, white, and blue. And the ones he chose, it looks kind of like retro, like an 80s feel. Maybe he just used his old campaign sign, but he is this is a really quintessential sign of the times, like 2003, 2004 era, what things were like back then. The New Republic endorses Joe Lieberman. It's, and this sometimes a picture of this magazine cover goes viral to show us how silly in retrospect it was. But they to them, the big issue is the war. And to give some context, the New Republic is now, I would say, like a progressive, you know, all liberal social democratic magazine. That they have a lot of good stuff. I read their stuff. It is good now, mostly. Not to say I agree with everything in it now, but it is a far cry from what it used to be. 80s, 90s, 2000s. It used to be just like basically everything up to Reaganism, but just like stopping short by like 10%. They published stuff about Ron Contra, which was totally just, you know, puff piece for Reagan in many ways. And then, you know, the infamously in the 90s, they published this "Does Race Influence IQ" article.
Oh no.
Let's have the discussion.
That oh God. Yeah. Teach the controversy. Oh, it's right. Let's have a discussion gets a lot of weight in America. That's the anti-vaxxers use that. Is that Bill Kristol? Is that?
No, that's he's like
oh he's something
Weekly
else.
Standard.
Oh, okay, yeah, sorry,
hardline Republican.
I've got my nerd magazines messed up.
Yeah, well, the New Republic is quintessential New Democrat. You know Bill Clinton is a prime example of, but there are others, including Joe Lieberman.
Oh, absolutely. He's very similar to Bill Clinton.
Right. And New Republic was actually called the in-flight magazine for Air Force One in the 90s.
Damn, Lieberman is basically unsexy Bill Clinton.
Yeah, in a lot of ways. Yeah. Maybe not as good of a politician, I will say. I think.
Oh, who is? Yeah. I don't think he was good, but he was good at being a politician.
Right, absolutely.
He's still beloved. People, Biden's doing fundraisers with him in the 2024 race.
Yeah.
He's a piece of crap. He had terrible legislation, terrible stuff to women. Yeah.
Yeah. But so by 2003, right, they're still clinging to this New Democrat ideology and sort of sense of what the president should be. And they are kind of discombobulated after the Iraq War, right? Because there's kind of a shakeup in the party, not to the point where it is now, I would say, and not to the point where, you know, personally I would want it to go, but the war is a disorienting experience for liberals in America.
I remember supporting it because I was like a young Republican curious guy in college. I was 19. I was a moron. And then the two things, because initially mission accomplished, whatever, everything went according to plan initially. And then there's no WMD and then the insurgency starts. And it's like, this is a shit show. And the reasoning for this has been cut out. Though, if you ask Joe Lieberman, he's a WMD truther, I guess. Yeah. now dead, but he's telling everyone in heaven or hell or whatever about it. But he still said like they had the infrastructure for WMD. He was still like, there's WMD.
Right.
And he provides some, there maybe was some level of them in 1998 when that bill you mentioned was passed, but he's just like, we did the right thing. He says then that like Bush messed it up, you know, once we were in there, which is, you know, ball. And but he stuck to his guns the whole time while the other Democrats, like a guy like John Kerry, started being more critical of the war, regretting going in, that kind of stuff.
Right. And that's a big piece of this, because Lieberman's very pro-war, and for the New Republic, they're looking for somebody who's going to stick to that position. And early on, Lieberman's really the only person. If you look at, too, the way the Bush administration timed the war, it goes so perfectly with the electoral schedule, because they scheduled the vote in October 2002, right before the midterm elections. What, are you going to vote against a war after this, you know, year ago?
And it's the post 9/11 mid. Yeah, yeah. Right. He had an insanely high approval rating at that point.
Yeah. And then the presidential campaign starts just a few months after that, right? Yeah. It's technically the campaign.
I think Dean announced like in January or something. Yeah.
Right. But and yeah, and the invasion doesn't even start till March 2003. So it's, you know, they try to delay it as much as possible. And it takes about a year or two for America to come to the conclusion that this thing was a mistake and are going to rise. So in that intermediary time, there's Democrats just don't know what to do. They like, do we call Bush out on this, or do we do the Lieberman thing, which is like, take that issue from them, but not run, not oppose the president on the war, but talk, you know, do run them on other things, right? Little issues, kind of the way Clinton governed. And
a lot of them had voted for, I know Kerry, I believe Kerry and Edwards had voted for the war.
Yeah.
There's like, I forget who the other people were, like Dick Gephardt, stuff like that. Like, I'm sure he had voted for the war. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's, they can't go completely against the war because most of them had voted to authorize it.
Yeah.
As far as the Democrats who were running and had the ability to vote.
Right.
I don't think Dean would have had the ability to vote. He was, either a governor or
governor,
yeah. Yeah. Vermont, right?
Yep.
Nice. But
so, the New Republic endorses him in 2003. They say it's not just that he voted for the war, the $87 billion for post-war reconstruction. The clearest and least popular truth about the Iraq occupation is that we don't have enough troops to secure the country. And in the short term, at least, we can't get them from other countries or by reconstructing the Iraqi army. All the major Democratic candidates say the United States must win the peace in Iraq, yet only Lieberman has put that goal above his political self-interest and repeatedly called for more American troops, which, if you fast forward to fall 2004, John Kerry is running on more troops.
And that is part one of this week's episode. To hear the full ep, please go to patreon.com/thevanquished. For $5 a month, you can get this ep, as well as our full bonus episode catalog, and you also get the ability to annoy and harass us with the comment section. Last but not least, if you enjoyed the show, please leave us a 5-star rating and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at VanquishedPod. All right, thanks.